though even scientists are not in agreement on its safety. Irish poet William Butler Yeats wrote The Second Coming. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. And what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born. Some will see nuclear energy and weapons as that rough beast. Some will think atomic energy is the salvation of humankind. It's not our job to decide, but yours, and then to do what you can about your opinion. This program was produced by Dunaway Productions in New Mexico. Written and directed by David Dunaway, the program was co-produced by Matthew Melendi. Additional assistance from Marty Resendez and John Berger. The Bear Family label in Germany provided many songs. For more information about what's played, you can visit a website, nuclearmusic.online. Nuclearmusic.online. From all of us, thanks for listening.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
At KBOO, we accept many kinds of vehicle donations. We accept fuzzy vans, broken cars, zippy scooters, seaworthy boats, well-worn farm equipment, family-sized SUVs, old jet skis, and more. If your vehicle has a clean title, we can take it as a donation. If your vehicle isn't working, we can work with that too. Call 877-KBOO-123. That's 877-526-6123. Or go to our website, kboo.fm/vehicle.
Hey, Michael here. I'm with the Tin Can Phone Podcast, a radio show where you can hear about the influence incarceration has straight from the source. We tell you the story from the inside out. So make sure to check us out on KBOO Community Radio every first Tuesday at 10 a.m.
Welcome to another episode of Civic Cypher. I'm your host, Ramses Ja.
He is Ramses Ja. I am Q Ward. This is Civic Cypher.
Yes, it is. Another great show in store for you this week. Be sure to stick around. We have a lot to talk about, as per usual. But this week, we're going to do a bit of a hodgepodge. We had a lot of issues and topics come our way this week, and so we got a lot to cover. You know, we always complain about there not being enough show to cover everything that comes our way, so we're going to try to address that a bit. We're still not going to get to everything, but obviously there's a lot of stuff that's sort of piled up that we haven't been able to get to. So we're going to spend the first part of the show talking about in the way that we continue to endorse and support systems that fail us, particularly systems rooted in white supremacy and racism that historically have harmed Black and brown people. And we're going to, you know, go through some examples that have been in the news lately, and just kind of, you know, we've been wrestling with that question a bit around here, but I guess we're going to have a more general conversation with you, our listeners, and obviously amongst ourselves here in the studio. We're also going to talk about some real accountability with respect to policing and the way that the government looks at policing, and the government continues to support the institution despite how the numbers paint the picture, the reality for Black and brown people in this country. So another thing that we have to deal with, and then obviously our producer Maggie B. Knowen, in her infinite wisdom and her B. Knowen, thought that we should take a look at the origins of modern day policing by taking our way Black history fact to the slave patrols. So again, a lot to stick around for today's show. But first and foremost, we are going to discuss Q's favorite segment, Ebony Excellence.
Shall we?
We shall. Today's Ebony Excellence is brought to you by Hip Hop Weekly Media. This article comes via Afrotech. and we are going to shout out Ashanti. She is our Ebony Excellence example for today. The article reads, Ashanti aims to promote ownership as the first Black female artist to be co-founder of a Web3 company. Now, if you're like me and you didn't know or don't know much about Web3, get to know about it. It is the future. But I'll read. 20 years since the world was introduced to the songstress dubbed the princess of hip-hop and R&B, Ashanti is shaking things up in the metaverse and proving that there is an ever-evolving relationship between music and tech. Thanks to a partnership with the EQ Exchange, Ashanti is now the first Black female artist to be a co-founder of a Web3 company. Quote, technology has been a blessing, end quote. She told Afrotech during the 2022 Essence Festival of Culture. Quote, everything has pros and cons, but I think using it as a tool to empower and uplift, to learn and research are all beautiful things. I want to continue to do things like this and having these conversations to continue to spread the narrative, continue to use the platform and become the vessel and say, hey guys, it's so important to own your intellectual property. You know, like we come up and we set the trends with these dances for TikTok and for Instagram and for these tutorials. I feel like creating awareness and understanding that ownership is so powerful is essential. And, you know, for those who don't know, I recently did a talk with a man named Rashad Tabakawala, who is a great thinker in this space, Web3, Black folks in tech. It's on the Black Information Network daily podcast on the iHeartMedia app. I implore you to check that out if you want to learn a bit more about Web3. But again, that is the future. And we want to shout out Ashanti for being a pioneer in that arena. Now, moving on. We had a lot of articles pop up in our group chat this week. As you may know, or if you're new to the show, you may not know, we have a group chat, things that come up on social media or in, you know, our news feed or whatever that we feel will be pertinent to this show and to our listeners. You know, we discuss them and debate them in our group chat before we sit down and we hash out a show. And then, of course, our producer kind of whittles our conversations down to the essence. And then we speak to those things. But this week, there were so many different things that fell under the same umbrella that we felt like we might be able to kind of give you, the listener, a glimpse into what our life is like in debating what it is we need to talk about and what really deserves some attention this week. So these are some of the headlines that hit us hardest this week. We'll go through them one by one, but you know, just to give you a peek behind the curtain and then also ask the question, as we mentioned at the top of the show, why do we continue to endorse and support systems that are failing us, systems that are rooted in white supremacy and racism and that actively are harming Black and brown people? So we'll start with the least of the transgressions, I suppose. Q, you saw the weather report there where there was a forecast and they used the racial slur in there, right? You saw that one? I think you might have posted it, right?
The racial slur, yeah. Yeah. I saw that one.
So I'll read a bit about it. So this one comes by the New York Post. It says, racial slur seen in TV weather forecast, quote, we apologize to our viewers, end quote. It was a cloudy day with a chance of outrage, a graphic during the Weather Channel cable network's Local on the 8's presentation in Des Moines last evening included a racial slur. The Post read, we removed this graphic as soon as we learned of it. This did not originate with us, and we are in the process of investigating it further. We apologize to our viewers, end quote. So the racial slur is the one that you're thinking.
Yeah, that one.
And it said something like, you know, get ready for rain, you know, in words, something like that.
Here's your weather.
Inclement weather. Yeah, something like that.
In words.
That was it. Very good. So, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are like, yo, it's just a word. What's it matter?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is your weather. My N words.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Now we got it. Okay. So there are a lot of people out there who might look at this and be like, okay, what does it matter? It's just a word. It's the Weather Channel in Des Moines, you know, on and on, right? But I think there's, it's hard to know what the ripple effect of these things are if the initial impact doesn't move you in a significant way. And for Black people, obviously, that word moves us in a significant way. In my estimation, this is the sort of thing that is among the height of disrespect, where someone can jokingly use the ugliest word in the English language that only refers to one group of people, and those people have melanin in their skin, to relegate these people to second-class citizenship, to relegate these people to the margins of society, to insult, right? But the thing is, what I think a lot of people don't realize is that if you insult a person, okay, the person has to deal with it, right? But if you insult a race of people, it feels a lot heavier. It's hard to shed that because at no point can you convince this person that you are not that word, right? It just goes with you because you're Black and everyone else Black, and that's it. And for people not to get a sense of the gravity of it, to play with it, like in the case of Des Moines, or this Weather Channel in Des Moines, and for it to just be broadcast, it's very hurtful. But I think more than that, it just suggests that disrespect still resides at key places in society. The fact that there are people who feel like this is either a joke or are being deliberate in the way they choose to insult one group of people. And in my estimation, position themselves above that group of people. You know, that is that's textbook white supremacy right there. Because again, this word had the ER, it had the hard R on it, you know? It's just one of those things where when you look at it, you're like, oh shoot, man. It just reminds you of the uphill battle that we're dealing with. And it reminds you that that type of thinking, that type of disrespect is prevalent in spaces where you wouldn't even conceive of it. You know, we talk about the police a lot on the show. We never talk about the Weather Channel. And yet and still, guess what? We're talking about the Weather Channel and the fact that this type of disrespect exists in places like that. Any thoughts?
I mean, I wouldn't even call it an uphill battle. Mm-hmm. It's like we're climbing the face of a mountain.
A sheer cliff.
Right? Walking uphill is different, right? I mean, it's, you know, there's a incline that you have to deal with. You got to fight gravity a little bit, but, you know, anybody able-bodied can make it to the top of a hill. Mm-hmm. This is different.
Yeah.
And we got no net, no equipment. And if we get too close to the top of that thing, somebody will be sure to try to push us back down.
Right.
You know, even the idea that somebody may take it as a joke, that's even more, that's worse than the person who said it to be mean, the person that thinks that it's funny. Mm. I mean, I'd have to think about how difficult it is to get a graphic on the Weather Channel, something seemingly benign, but we work in broadcast media.
Yeah, it's not like anybody.
We couldn't put something on iHeart's website ourselves today just because we felt like it.
There's
like,
so many checks and balances. Yeah.
So it didn't, when they say it didn't come from us or it didn't originate with us, so what? It still made it to television, right? So either the person who pushed the button to post it thought it was funny, or like you said, really wanted to get that message out there, mm-hmm. or they're always so incompetent. I can't believe it's the latter. I can't.
Yeah. Because incompetent channel, people don't make it that far. Yeah,
the Weather Channel is not this new upstart.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
all right. Well, moving on. Another headline that made its way to us this week was, this one comes via Black Enterprise. Whole North Carolina Police Department quits due to quote, progressively responsible, end quote, town manager. I'll read. In protest of newly appointed progressively responsible town manager in North Carolina, an entire police force has turned in their 2 weeks' notice because of their alleged hostile work environment. Jones has nothing but a praised career during her years of public service. Jones has dedicated her career to public service over the past 16 years, during which she worked in progressively responsible positions with local governments in Minnesota, Virginia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. This came by a press release from the town of Kinley. Now, the Jones that we're speaking of is a Black woman. I think it's important to note that. Grab her first name for me. I want to make sure that I mention that. Now, I know that, you know, we're reading text. I just want to make sure that we're giving credit where it's due. But in essence, what happened is a Black woman was hired to manage a town and the entire police department quit. That's what happened. So, you know, this is rather more insight into the reality of our current climate. Okay. Justine Jones is the woman's name. So we're rather we're taking a deeper look rather into what we're dealing with here. This is this week, but this is all the time. These are just kind of smaller articles that we just don't really need. We don't really get to, and we can't when we're dealing with death and, you know, those sorts of things. But imagine the town, the culture of the town. Imagine the way it feels to be a Black woman. You know, we spent a lot of time on this show celebrating Justice Brown Jackson's appointment to the Supreme Court. Do you remember when Joe Biden won the presidency? We dedicated a whole segment to Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. Being the first Black woman vice president. And you know, we are big fans of Black Girl Magic around here. And if we weren't, Maggie B. Noone would certainly make sure that we were, because she is the super fan of Black Girl Magic.
I mean, if we weren't, we wouldn't have the relationship that we have with Maggie.
Exactly.
So let's start there. I don't think that she would even allow herself in the company with people who weren't at the bare minimum super fans.
Well said.
What we coined as Black Girl Magic. I wanted to say something before we moved on, because there's a term there used over and over that's kind of ambiguous. Mm-hmm. Progressively responsible. And it's in quotations every time that it's used. I wanted to give a more plain definition of this. It actually has one.
Please.
Progressively responsible refers to task, job duties, or roles that demonstrate growth and or advancement and have a difficult level of responsibility, 5+ years experience, bachelor's degree, et cetera. Mm-hmm. A very, very qualified progressive woman. Mm-hmm. But the progressively responsible, I think that term is used ambiguously on purpose,
yeah,
to kind of leave to question what that might mean.
So
very, very qualified and intelligent Black woman.
Right. So imagine if Justice Brown Jackson was appointed to the Supreme Court and all the rest of the justices quit. Right. So here we have a Black woman being appointed to, again, town manager. The entire police department turns in their resignation. So again, we're getting a sense of the disrespect, the reality. You know, these are little stories that are kind of in little pockets of the country that deserve to be mentioned. But I think that when we take them all in a whole, you get a sense of exactly where we are as a country. You know, you may listen to us in a big city, you know, just depending on where you are. We are in some smaller cities around the country as well. But, you know, the majority of our listenership is in big cities around the country. And so you might not be aware that racism is not just, you know, the N-word and police violence. Racism is really marginalizing people and denying people opportunities. How can you provide security for a town if your entire police department quits? And then what is the town left to do except change the police or change the town manager if they want their police force
back. No, the town could very easily hire better officers.
That's what I was thinking, right? But, where are they going to come from?
The scapegoat is the progressively responsible candidate manager. But they can come from the same town where the progressively responsible town manager came from, right? These people have been in place, underqualified, undereducated, very, very minor in their levels of complexity and emotional intelligence. Hire better people.
I'm glad you said
hire
that.
An entire that actually new is a police great force. Idea.
Hey, so listen.
Hey, we're hiring. This job pays $55,000 a year to start.
Yeah,
and unlimited overtime,
and you can rethink policing in the interim, which we're going to talk about because you know policing,
make it easy on yourselves.
But you know, just for her to have to go through that, and for us to hear about it and be able to share it with you, just kind of again gives a glimpse into just how far people will go to show their hatred and disdain for Black people. Certainly, obviously, these police don't want to work for a Black woman. And I think that's something that we learned.
Wow.
Excuse me. In Arizona, we had a chief of police who was a Black woman. And the people that worked for her gave her a very hard time. And the community gave her a very hard time too. And I'm not going to say whether or not it was deserved because I was following national stories. I just heard about it. But I recognized, because her husband did come up on the show.
Yeah, he did.
Judge Williams came up on the show. And I recognized that being a Black woman in that position had to be tough no matter which way you cut it. So story number two. Story number three. This one comes via NBC News. Cincinnati police officer and former reality TV figure caught on camera using racist slur. All right, Rose Valentino, a 14-year veteran, appeared on TLC's Police Women of Cincinnati, has been taken off the streets after she was recorded on her own body camera using a racist slur, caught saying, effing N-word, I effing hate them, as she punched the steering wheel of her squad car on April 5th, according to an internal affairs report. Valentino said she was agitated by a crowd of cars lining up to pick up students at Western Hills University High School, which didn't move when she activated the lights and siren. Now, a little bit more about the story. She says a student flipped her off, and then she started punching the steering wheel and saying, effing N-words, I effing hate them. It's on camera, and I saw that one. So, go ahead.
If I was driving down the street in my squad car,
mm-hmm.
and a pickup truck intentionally T-boned my squad car, right? Airbags pop out and I survive. Nothing in my
ever.
Entire consciousness would say effing any group of people. I hate them.
They're all of them, you know, a term for all of them.
There is no
this one individual disrespected me, but
there is no version of that being the natural reaction to any group of people, let alone the very pejorative, very negative, very insulting, very ignorant term used to, in the most racist manner ever, describe said group of people.
Hang on. So now let's go to Mississippi, our favorite place. USA Today. Mississippi police chief fired after leaked audio captured racist rant, him bragging about killing 13 people. Okay. Former Lexington Police Department Chief Sam Dobbins was fired after audio recordings demonstrated him bragging about shooting and killing people in the line of duty, including a Black man who he claimed to have shot more than 100 times in a racist and homophobic rant. About 80% of the city, nearly 1,300 people, are Black, census data shows. So this is not just an isolated police incident. And this is just this week. Normally, we wouldn't even have the bandwidth to cover this. I still have more articles to get to. How about this one? This one comes from Yahoo News. Black man beaten, left bloodied after alleged stop sign violation in Tennessee. We saw this video. That was hard to watch. Tennessee Bureau of Investigation has opened a probe into the brutal arrest of a Black man who was chased into a home where a loved one recorded as he was beaten and shocked with a taser after an alleged traffic violation. You know, some of this stuff we share on our social media, at Civic Cypher, if you want to check it out. Some of the stuff you're going to have to do a little bit of homework, because it, we don't want to devolve into sort of like the media enterprise that glorifies or benefits from the sensationalism of harm against black and brown bodies. So some things we'll share, some things will point you in the direction where if you want to actually see it, you can, but we're a radio show, we talk through things. But that was an awful, awful, awful video to watch. And that you see these people chase this man down like an animal and hurt him, and he's screaming, and they hurt him. It was for a traffic violation, and he ran because he was scared. That's it.
Their only intent was to hurt him.
That's it.
So of course he ran.
Mm-hmm.
And once they caught him, their intentions were not to subdue, not to arrest, not to handcuff, not to anything. Let's harm this man as much as we can, as fast as we can, as mm-hmm. aggressively as we can, as forceful as we can. The reason why does not matter. Your job is to not physically punish people that break the law.
Yeah.
The guns that you have are supposed to be to protect people, not to aggressively, forcefully murder, injure, and harm people. That's not what you signed up for. I never really understand, even in traffic stops. I got a speeding ticket recently. The officer was so angry at me, and I was so confused by it, right? Because the speed limit, the posted number, is very arbitrary. I don't know if you people drive in real life, and I hate the way "you people" sounds. I don't know if anyone drives in real life at the posted speed limit.
Right.
So I'm just going faster than you thought I should be going, and that's fine. Pull me over and cite me. That's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
But why are you angry at me?
Yeah.
I did not do something to you, sir.
Yeah. No, nobody's hard. Everybody's still living.
And it was funny because the police officer that pulled me over was also not just speeding, but driving. He wasn't posted with a radar. So it even says on the ticket, the way that he detected that I was speeding was by pace.
Mm.
This is just his opinion, folks. A system, man.
Well, listen, despite going through all these headlines, we still have more that we can't get to.
Several.
And that's just the reality of it. So we'll leave it right there.
And now, proper propaganda. Watch it. Pull my mic back. You like that? Journalists, we're journalists too. We can strike back. Hardcore reporters with orders from headquarters. Behind enemy lines, sidestepping the borders.
If you're just tuning in to Civic Cypher, I'm your host, Ramses Ja.
He is Ramses Ja. I am Q Ward. She is Maggie B. Noen.
Yes, we are
Civic Cypher.
Yeah, big shout out to Maggie B. Noen. She put together a good show for us this week. A lot more to stick around for, so please do just that. We're going to talk a little bit more about kind of where we left off there, some police accountability, the value of police, and really what we think of, you know, in terms of, we're going to be fair, though.
You said police accountability, and I just couldn't help it.
Well,
I'm sorry.
It's okay. This is the place for that. But we're going to be fair. We're going to be as fair as we want to be.
Oh, man.
But we're also going to look at how government institutions look at policing and kind of the disconnect between our lived reality. We're also going to talk about the origins of policing for our way Black history fact. For those that don't know, policing comes from slave times, you know, as it turns out. So stick around for all that. But first and foremost, we're going to discuss how to become a better ally, B-A-B-A, Baba. And this is brought to you by Hip Hop Weekly Magazine. And we're going to do a special one this week. We're going to shout out our listeners, you. We're going to name one listener in particular. But you listening to this show, you are becoming better allies by listening to the conversations that we're having. You know, 2020 told us that we need to talk more. That's what we're doing. But, you know, what do you say? We don't do this for free. We do it for freedom, right? That's what Maggie tells us, right? But I think more importantly, we say at the end of the show's been growing, and it has been. And in order to really take advantage of all the opportunities And if you feel inclined, you can support us in that growth fiscally. And I want to give an example here. This message came from a listener named Timothy Roper, who listens to us on Wool FM, Black Sheep Radio in Vermont.
Black Sheep Radio, I love it.
Wool FM, W-O-O-L.
All right. I love it.
Yeah, so he wrote us a message and he sent us $50. And we used that $50 to purchase something that we now have in the studio with us, man. So thank you, Timothy. We appreciate you. And you can do the same. But he sent a note with his donation. It says, I listen to your syndicated show on Wool in Vermont. I want to express my gratitude for all you share and the wisely measured way in which you share it. So we want to say thank you, Timothy. Your words and, of course, your monetary generosity genuinely have made a difference in our world, and we appreciate you.
We appreciate you, brother.
You can do the same. There's a ton of ways to donate. Hit civiccipher.com, and you'll see it. It's right there. Help us grow. We need you, and we'll do this thing together. Now, moving on. Why can't we live, and where is the real accountability?
What a question.
Right. That's one for the ages. So
I wonder if we'd said that instead of Black Lives Matter, if they would have come up with a catchy slogan.
They would have figured it out.
And, you know, in opposition to that one.
They would have figured it out. Man, listen, we are not up against forces that are uninformed or unintelligent. These are people that are master manipulators. They know how to twist the narrative. They, you know, I was watching something about Tucker Carlson, not to go off on a tangent here, but he was having a conversation with a student, and his advice to the student was, you know, get married and have lots of babies, right? And as you know, the great replacement theory is something that's largely pushed on the right, where white men in particular feel like they are going to lose the numbers game, quote unquote, and they feel that it's a concerted effort by Jewish people who have coordinated with Black and Hispanic folks to shift the numbers away from a white majority in the country. Not that nature does that, because, you know, if you look at it through a scientific lens, it's nature.
Maggie, I don't know if she can answer us because she doesn't have a mic. Did you get the email for the invitation to the Jewish minorities pilgrimage to erase white people a-thon? Like, I don't know.
That's a firm no for
Maggie.
Did
they send that to Civic Cipher at
I didn't get that either.
It wasn't on the website. Did we get a pamphlet at the P.O. box? No.
If they did, you know, this would be the place where we would share it with people, right?
You know, I would have loved to have done a show live from
that place
conference or trade show or whatever you would call such a thing.
It's but you see what I mean? There are these they make these boogeymen out of thin air, and they do a great job of scaring their constituents and their listeners into taking action against forces that are not even they don't even exist in a shared reality. And nobody's counting. Nobody's like, okay, we need to have more babies so that we can have the number. Like, what that feels so, it's like hustling backwards.
Because then what?
Exactly. We got to take care of all these babies?
Right.
So, anyway.
Because our government sure goes out of their way to help us support all these babies.
Right. Thank you, Q, for pointing out the obvious. But that narrative is so entrenched. This is the narrative that the white supremacist shooter in the top supermarket had. He had written on his gun, "You will not replace us," you know. And this is shared, you know, in those white supremacist like chat rooms on the internet.
Yeah, their manifestos, 4chan
and 8chan places. Yeah, and they're not stupid. They are just, they subscribe to a separate reality that it's not a shared reality. It's just their reality. And they're so afraid of what we know to be nothing, but in their world, it's a very real thing.
I mean, they found a way to stir their base into a frenzy that's monolithic.
Sure.
And that's why it's successful. They don't have to have the majority. Right, we can outnumber them by tens of millions, but if we got 60 million and they got 10,
all their 10 is on the same page.
They on the same joint. Like, yeah, this is what we're on.
Right.
Our 60, I'm talking about, I don't like Ramses's afro. He don't like my hair. His glasses are black. Mine's have a gold tinge. We're going to spend our whole thing pointing out the problems and the holes and the small fractures in each other. That 10 million, they don't care nothing about none of that.
Yeah.
They are trying to replace us.
Yeah, that's it. That is their war cry.
That fear worked for that small number of people, and they are united in that fear.
So
we are cannibalizing ourselves by tearing each other down and not supporting the same message, the same vision, the same anything. It is quite discouraging.
You know what comes to mind when you say that is the way that we treated Bernie Sanders for the last election. But hang on, I have a whole another point to make. So to your point, it wouldn't matter if we called a movement Black Lives Matter. It wouldn't matter if we called a slogan defund the police. They would figure out, in their brilliance, I will admit that, in their brilliance, they would figure out a way to challenge the narrative and the actual language, the war cry. They would figure it out. You know, these are marketing professionals. I went to school for marketing, so I know, like, man, that's brilliant. You know, a way to counter a statement, a movement or whatever. And then because they are monolithic in their focus and in their efforts, they can exist and really do some damage to a movement or a moment. Now, let's actually look into what we're trying to look into here for this topic. All right, so our first set of notes comes from the Washington Post. All right. During his presidency, the Trump administration abandoned a proven way to reduce police violence. All right, pattern or practice, investigators are considering one of the best ways to rein in and reform dysfunctional departments. Congress created the authority for these federal investigations, formerly known as 34 USC 12601, in the aftermath of the vicious beating of Rodney King by LAPD officers. Now, the pattern or practice investigations, civil, not criminal investigations aimed at systemic problems, not individual officers, allow the federal government to sue any law enforcement entity that engages in a pattern or practice of conduct that deprives a person's rights, privileges, or immunities secured by or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. The government cannot sue for money, but it can sue for what's called equitable and declaratory relief, which is an order from a judge that police agencies have to enact specific reforms. Most cases don't go to trial. Once the federal government has uncovered specific and multiple constitutional violations, the police department will often begin negotiating rather than defend its practices in court. These usually result in consent decrees where the police departments agree to reform their practices. Now, the Trump administration abandoned this provision that reduced police violence.
And it can't be intelligently argued that they did that for any other reason than to allow these agencies to operate the way that they do with impunity.
Mm.
That's it.
Mm. Mm. Right? So, if it was just Donald Trump, you listening might think, well, yeah, of course, that's Trump. That's what he does. That's what he stands for. That's what his base wants. You know,
that
because
is the
his base,
United States of America.
His base isn't affected by
not
the police.
Just Orange Man.
So watch this. And this is why we're talking about this week, because our producer, Maggie, pointed out to us that President Biden, our current sitting president of the United States of America, as of you're listening to our voice, he was set to make an announcement in support of allocating more funds for the police and hiring more officers, right? And that was overshadowed. That announcement was overshadowed because he got COVID right at the same time. So it ended up kind of getting put out by the White House, but he didn't get to say it because he was not allowed to be in front of folks on cameras or whatever his situation was. But he was set to do that. So I'll read this. This one also comes from the Washington Post. Biden makes his midterm message clear. Fund the police. All right. Republicans applauded the blunt proclamation. Activists mourned its deeper message. This comes via Legal Defense Fund's website. Response to Biden's proposal. On Thursday, President Biden revealed the Safer America plan, which includes important support for community-led crime prevention and intervention, increased law enforcement accountability, sentencing reform, and gun violence abatement. Now, those key words in there sound like what it is that everyone's been working toward, right? Community policing, increased accountability, so forth and so on, right? But it fails to address, in fact, it exacerbates the existing problem, which is over-policing. I want to take a moment right here because I had a conversation with a friend today. And he went to a grocery store and he said a person walked into the grocery store and went to the fruit section of the grocery store, grabbed some fruit and started eating the fruit, right? This is very sad because the person that went into the store and got the fruit was hungry. That's why you go in the store to that's where the food is, right? If a moose walked into the store and ate an apple, what do you do with the moose? Do you call the police? Well, you might call the police because you might not want to run at a moose, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Definitely not trying to get down with the moose.
But does the moose get arrested? Does the moose go to jail?
The reason you call the police is for a far different reason.
Right. And the police respond in a different way to an animal. Okay. But this person went into the store hungry, right to the fruit, grab some fruit on the cameras, everything. Let me just eat this fruit, right? So what recourse does the store have? Call the police. And when you call the police, the store didn't have to do that. I don't want to mention the store because there were stores, but
you could ask the guy to pay for it.
Yeah, but my assumption is that, I don't know the man's personal details. Remember, I'm hearing this from someone who witnessed it happen. But, if you're a store manager, my assumption is that this will be a middle manager type of person that perhaps is based on this, where the location of the store and the population in that part of the city, this might have been someone who was not melanated, we'll say that.
It doesn't mean you can't be compassionate and empathetic. Sure, sure.
Exactly.
Just buy the person a piece of fruit.
Right. But the thing is, this show exists to teach people what that looks like.
The whole dollar that it might cost.
But again, this show exists to teach people what that might look like. They may not know how to be compassionate because they may never have seen it. They may think, okay, what is the only thing I can do to keep my job, to address this?
5 pounds of bananas cost like $1.50.
Okay, we know this.
I'm just saying.
We know this.
So does the grocery store manager.
Okay, but watch this. Again, if there are systems in place and you're trying to your best to do your job and do right by everybody, you might think the only thing I can do is call the police. If you didn't grow up like us, that might be the only thing. That's the only tool that you have, because you might not know in your mind, if you don't have any melanin in your skin and you didn't grow up culturally adjacent to black and brown people in the city, you might not know what it's like to be over-policed in the first place. You might not have even heard any stories.
You also might be underqualified to be a manager of a retailer.
Okay, we can have that conversation too. That's a separate conversation, but you're not wrong. Just to finish, they call the police. The police come en masse. So by the time
you got to send SWAT, because
right. So by the time
it's going down in produce,
by the time my friend leaves the store, there's 7 police cars, something like that. Tons of police officers for someone now seated at the front of the store for eating fruit in the store with no money and no intention to pay for it. Now, if you're like me and you live in this country, you know right now food prices are high, wages are down. You know what I mean? Like it's you know, it's hard to keep a job, it's hard to keep rent, so forth and so on. So hang on.
Let me finish
what I'm saying. So if that's the only number that you can call and that's the way that they respond, if you send 7 police cars to respond to somebody eating fruit at a store, imagine how much money it takes to get that going, to get that endeavor. All those officers are there now for an hour writing incident reports, making sure there's backup, radio, you know, these are resources that we pay for somebody eating fruit. Versus, what did you say, how much do them bananas cost?
I bought 4 pounds of bananas yesterday for $1.41 or something like that.
Okay. So do you think that maybe there is a ticketing system that might work a little bit better there? Or, you know, but I'm not saying I have the answer, but I'm saying that rethinking what policing looks like.
Even with the systems in place, yeah, let's find the guy. However, manager, store manager, if anyone listening is a store manager, of course you cannot do this for every case because you have a family to support, you have bills, but buy the person the piece of fruit.
Yeah, man. And if you see somebody,
it's really, really like, buy the person the piece of fruit.
But listen, if you see somebody stealing food, no, you didn't. That's it. Simple. If somebody's stealing your bike out of your front yard, you run them down and you get your bike back. However that looks, you and that person got to work that out. I mean, that's fine.
Well, there's nuance, right? If they're stealing cases of noodles and like they're stealing stuff out of the aisles in the store, then they're a thief, then yeah, they should probably be dealt with like a thief. They should not be, you know, things can go really wrong. However,
like stealing food.
Well, let's not pretend that we don't live in a capitalist society, however.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? If you steal our microphones, we can't just watch you do it because whatever your reasoning is,
yeah, that's
right?
Fair.
You're hungry. I can just buy you a piece of fruit. Like the store manager can afford to buy that person and probably the next 10 people a piece of fruit.
And wouldn't affect anything.
It wouldn't affect anything.
They throw that food away,
right? And there's accountability for loss in retail as well.
Yeah,
right. They kind of understand that most retailers going away from even having people at registers and letting everyone self check out. They're taking into account that some of those people are walking out of the store.
Now, hang on. I don't want to get too far away from the police's role in this.
Correct.
Right. So we all live in the same country in the same reality. For the most
same we, country.
We okay. We live in the same country.
Yeah. All right. Realities be
okay, that's fair. But
realities be different.
I'm going to be fair in this moment. If somebody walks into the studio right now and takes the microphones, what do? Either watch it happen or call the police. That's really what it is. So I'm not mad at the store manager.
I mean, I'm from 7 miles, so we can
listen. You better say that, Q. I'm from Compton, California. Yeah, we'd be busy. but you know what I mean, right? You know what I mean? You know, call the police or, you know, watch it happen or both, you know. And some people, they're not from 7 Mile and they don't have that in them and they shouldn't. I don't believe that is our nature as human beings. We cooperate. We are social creatures. We are programmed to get along with one another and we are taught to behave in an opposite manner. And we are conditioned by society to behave in an opposite manner and to espouse greed and you know, capitalism.
Once again,
forces capitalism. That. Yeah. But police, over policing is a problem. So for Joe Biden to say we need to put 100,000 more officers on the streets, you know, despite his coded language here, police accountability, et cetera, what you end up with is everybody showing up trying to do the job, right?
He should be ashamed.
So let me I'm going to paint a picture. I'm going to paint a picture for our listeners. Okay. All right. I have a house, right? The outside of my house, I want to paint it yellow. Okay? I call a painter to come and paint the outside of my house yellow, right? Somehow 7 painters end up showing up at my house, right? Now, they all have to justify being there because I'm the painter. This is a house. I'm here with yellow paint, right? So they all are going to want to get a piece of it, They're going to get involved to justify their existence. I know there's too many painters. So this is going to be a problem. And guess what? Each of them paints a little bit of the house. And then it's seven different shades of yellow. And then my house is ugly, right? So think about that when we talk about over-policing, right? And the fact is, we know that if you reallocate police resources the right way, in a way that addresses the problems, the source of the problems, daycare, you wouldn't make that connection, but sure enough, there's a connection between daycare and how accessible it is and crime rates in certain communities. That is a fact, right?
Employment.
Employment.
Social services. Yes,
thank you. Thank you. These things.
We can go on and
right?
on.
And then you don't even need that many police. I'm not going to be pretend like crime isn't always going to be with us, because there are bad people. They do exist in all colors. And we perhaps might need some traditional elements of policing to remain.
Especially in a haves versus have-not society.
Fair. But, you know, where we are with this is, we have a government that is detached in terms of their thinking from what is really happening on the streets, where Q was getting pulled over for a speeding ticket. And we realize that we not only have too many of these people, we have the people with the wrong temperament, you know, because of the sake, we need 100,000 more people. Okay, so what's the qualifications of those 100,000 more people? Do you need to get people that get mad when they write a ticket because that's the job that they chose to do? You know what I mean? And then you're going to give these people guns and have them make life and death decisions and then give them immunity from the consequences? And then we're under that boot? Okay, we need to really recognize the fact that there are two different Americas, one that the government is pandering to ensure that their base is fortified and that they get reelected, and the one that we live in.
I'm glad you said that, because it's not ignorance, it's that.
Yeah. So we have to move on now. So it's time for our Way Black History Fact. And fortunately, it's kind of in the same vein there. So today's Way Black History Fact comes from Hip Hop, or sponsored by Hip Hop Weekly Magazine. It comes from the NAACP. We like the NAACP around there. Shout out to them for hooking us up with an award. It's somewhere in the studio. I lost it, but shout out to the NAACP for loving what we do here. We love y'all too. All right. The origins of modern day policing. All right. The origins of modern day policing can be traced back to the slave patrol. That word patrol is something that you should remember. We talked about this on the show before, but we're going to make this breathe a little bit for you. The earliest formal slave patrol was created in the Carolinas in the early 1700s with one mission. Dang, 1700. With one mission: to establish a system of terror and squash slave uprisings with the capacity to pursue, apprehend, and return runaway slaves to their owners. Tactics included the use of excessive force to control and produce desired slave labor. All right. I want to take a moment here before I finish this reading. If you can do me a favor, you're listening intently to Q and I have this conversation. If you're in a position to make a note, I want you to write how to make a slave. Write it in your phone, write it somewhere. The author is Willie Lynch. I will say that it is contested. The authenticity of that writing is contested, whether or not it was a historical document or not. But the point is, that regardless of whether it was a work of fiction or a work of nonfiction, it is a very potent and sobering reminder of the reality of this time in our country, 1700, we'll say. And, you know, this excessive force to control and produce desired slave labor, it'll make sense once you read that. Again, it's called How to Make a Slave, and the author is Willie Lynch. I want you to look that up. That's your homework. And that's another Baba for you for next week. Do that, and then we should probably include that for another Way Black History Fact. Anyway, we'll move on. North Carolina Slave Patrol oath was as follows. I, patroller's name, do swear that I will, as a searcher for guns, swords, and other weapons among slaves in my district, faithfully and as privately as I can, discharge the trust reposed in me as the law directs, to the best of my power, so help me God. Slave patrols continued until the end of the Civil War and the passage of the 13th Amendment. Following the Civil War during Reconstruction, slave patrols were replaced by militia-style groups who were empowered to control and deny access to equal rights to freed slaves. They relentlessly and systematically enforced black codes, strict local and state laws that regulated and restricted access to labor, wages, voting rights, and general freedoms for formerly enslaved people. In 1868, ratification of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution technically granted equal protections to African Americans, essentially abolishing black codes, Jim Crow laws, and state and local statutes that legalized racial segregation swiftly took their place. This comes from history.com, so there's a little slight shift here. Jim Crow laws were a collection of state and local statutes that legalized racial segregation, named after a black minstrel show character, the character who wore blackface. The laws, which existed for about 100 years in the post-Civil War era until 1968, were meant to marginalize African Americans by denying them the right to vote, hold jobs, get an education, or other opportunities. Those who attempted to defy Jim Crow laws often faced arrest, fines, jail sentences, violence, and death. Right. By the 1900s, local municipalities began to establish police departments to enforce local laws in the East and Midwest, including Jim Crow laws. Local municipalities leaned on police to enforce and exert excessive brutality on African Americans who violated any Jim Crow law. Jim Crow laws continued through the end of the 1960s. Fast forward to today, the criminal justice system is heavily impacted by the bias of police mentality and outdated judicial precedents. The system is largely driven by racial disparities, and the black community continues to be the target. The results are brutal and long-standing. The legacy and effects of biased policing are far-reaching. The U.S. is home to the world's largest prison population and the highest per capita incarceration rate. As of May 2020, there were 655 people incarcerated per 100,000. Prison, parole, and probation operations cost U.S. taxpayers $81 billion with a B, dollars per year. Another fact, in 2020, there were 1,021 fatal police shootings, and in 2019, there were 999 fatal shootings. Additionally, the rate of fatal police shootings among Black African Americans was much higher than for any other ethnicity, standing at 35 fatal shootings per million of the population as of March 2021. That comes from Statistica.com. Now, go ahead.
Willie Lynch, whether or not it was an official document, what cannot be argued is whether or not it was fiction. It was not fiction. It may not have been an official piece of legal or political literature, but the ideology of Willie Lynch's writing still exists today.
Yeah. So that's why I want you to read it.
So yeah, we weren't sure if it was fact or fiction, or if it was fiction or nonfiction. It was very, very much nonfiction.
Okay. So now we're going to have this conversation right here. We have a couple minutes, so let's do it. I do want you, our listener, to look this up. You may have heard a bit about it, maybe not, but I want you to look it up so you know what we're talking about.
And reach out to us so please, we can talk to you about it.
Please.
We would love to jump on camera and jump on a microphone and have that conversation please. With you, even if it's not the show that you're listening to right now.
Sure.
We'll make some time for you.
Now, the reason I say that is because if you Google Willie Lynch letter or how to make a slave, you're going to see a lot of fluff, a lot of things that try to debunk the authenticity of the letter. And I don't want you to be confused by that because, again, as you mentioned, whether or not this was actually written by a man and the man's name was Willie Lynch and so forth, the ideology there is very true. And when you get a chance to see that this was deliberate and that it works and it was masterful, just like the fluff that's masterfully placed next to the actual document. You know, go to the Wikipedia page, you'll see the document and then you'll see all the rest of the stuff that says is not, you know, may not be real or the authenticity is debated and so forth to, you know, kind of create some confusion around it. But please read it and you'll see what we're talking about here. But for now, because we have to go, just know that this is the origins of policing. This is the way that our government feels about policing and is continuing to operate. And we are still at the receiving end of a lot of that brutality. So again, just keep that in mind when you cast your votes and as you move forward, you know, with your life in this country, that we are your countrymen and we love you and we love ourselves and we love our children. We want a better world, same as you do. And this is perhaps what a better world looks like for us. So something to keep in mind. But that's going to do it for us here on Civic Cypher. Once again, I'm your host, Ramses Ja.
They call me Q Ward most of the time.
Yes, indeed. Show produced by our producer, Ms. Maggie, a.k.a. Maggie B. Knowen. And before we let you go, once again, hit the website, civiccypher.com. Submit any questions, any topics you want us to cover. That donation thing, that goes a long way, man. Your $50 will make an impact, just like Timothy's $50 did.
So will your $1, your
$2. So will your $1.
It doesn't have to be $50.
I wish I could share all of the great stuff coming our way, but it only happens with your support, financially and otherwise. And be sure to follow us on all social media at Civic Cypher. Until next week, y'all.
Peace.
Too. We can strike back hardcore reporters with orders from headquarters. Behind enemy lines, sidestepping the borders. With press passes, we bring it to you as it happens. The streets love my crew for music and rapping. Street commander slash beat expander. Here to fight the slander with the proper propaganda. What's happening? You got a question, then ask it. The news is just a TV show. Get past it. And this from a quiet wartime journalist.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Hello, dear listeners. Oil for Kisses is a monthly program on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland, that highlights